fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A fantastic Friday to you. It is March the 26th. It is the Cale Clark Show, the show of record for this day. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. If you want to call in and speak to me, it is for free. I'm paying for this call. 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the show, cale@relevantradio.com. Or you can tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Follow me on Twitter. We also have a show account, too, that you're going to want to check out. Lots of good stuff there. It's run by our crack team here at the... I was going to make a little joke there, but I won't. At the Cale Clark Show. And the show account is called at Cale Clark Show. Lots of great stuff coming up in this episode. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm going to get you set up for Palm/Passion Sunday, or as I like to call it, Arts and Crafts Sunday. Because people take their palms and do all kinds of crazy things with them. And we're going to talk about Netflix and how binge-watching Netflix, which you may, in fact, want to do this weekend. I'm not going to judge you if you do that. But if you do it, believe it or not, it could actually benefit your faith. We'll talk about that in a bit, too. The week that was is coming up. Oh, it's epic. This one could have been 10 minutes long, but producer Lucas somehow got it down to just a couple of minutes. I don't know how he did this, but I cannot wait to hear that. It's always a surprise for me as well as for you. But I do have to start off the show with an apology to all of our faithful listeners and especially people who follow us on Twitter. We had a bit of an electronic incident, if you will. You know how we're doing this Sweet 16 bracket of Saints. It's our March Madness tournament for 20th Century Saints. We've got some Saints playing off against one another, and you can vote who's going to get through to the next round. And unfortunately, due to... Well, here's what I think happened. This is what my sources tell me happened. You may have been voting in this already. We started the voting yesterday for all these brackets and all these games, quote-unquote, that were being played. For example, the Children of Fatima were facing off against St. Josephine Bikita in one round. That was a tough matchup. Anyways, just to sum things up, unfortunately, all of those results have now disappeared forever from the internet.
Do you think this is a Dominion situation going on?
Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't think it was the smartest idea to use Dominion voting systems to set this up. I've heard they've had some issues, maybe. Depending on who you talk to, they may not be reliable, but no, I'm only kidding. Don't call about that. I do not want to get into that topic. What I heard through my sources, Karen, through my because I'm deeply connected in Canada here.
Yes.
And I heard that there were a group of hackers based out of Montreal that were incredibly upset that St. Andre Bisset, brother Andre, was getting absolutely blown out in his first round matchup against St. Faustina Kowalska, the Apostle of Divine Mercy. And so I've heard that they somehow hacked into our Twitter account for the show and erased everything. That's the story I was told.
Conspiracy theories will rise. Conspiracy will grow.
Conspirators are going to conspiratate.
Conspirate.
Is that even a word? I don't know. But listen, so we got the matchups going again. And thank you, Karen, for all your hard work on that. I know you were really stressed trying to get those matchups back up on Twitter. But unfortunately for these hackers, the early going... It's not looking any better for Brother Andre. Let me tell you, last I checked, he was getting blown out. 100% votes were going to, in this round, were going to St. Faustina.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
the other
one that was...
sometimes, you know?
Yeah, the other one that was a pretty, that I saw just quickly taking a quick look before the show started, was that Padre Pio also had 100% of the votes going up against St. Catherine Drexel. So if you went to Drexel University, you might want to chime in on this. I don't know if you're a Drexel fan. She needs some help right now.
I'm probably too smart for Twitter, so I don't know. Maybe but you just know what make this... a one-time exception. Jump on, vote.
jump on. But I'll tell you this, Karen, too. You know what this tells me? This tells me that the selection committee got the seedings right.
Yes, I think you're right.
I think Patrick Alog did a really good job seeding these Saints against one another. So if you're upset about these matchups, if you're upset...
Take it up with Patrick.
If you're a Drexel... if you're a Drexel fan, you say, I can't believe you put me in a draw against Padre Pio in the first round. Then take it up with Patrick Alog. You can call in. You know the number. 1-888-914-9149. And you might not want to talk to me. You might want to talk to Patrick and just give him an earful about this. But at any rate, the voting is back up. March Madness is still happening. The Sweet 16 is all weekend long. So we're going to cut it down to the final eight on Monday. So you got all weekend to vote. Go to the show account at Cale Clark Show to check that out. And I got to tell you this, Karen. A lot of people are going to be binge watching Netflix this weekend. Mm-hmm. People just do that. Sometimes they do it even during the week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not judging
it's hard
anyone
work.
Here. It can be. It can be a full-time job. I have to get through
this
show.
Bring me Gatorade.
Yeah, exactly. You got to power up. Get your electrolytes going. Well, I'm not going to judge anybody for doing this. And someone might say, well, this isn't beneficial to your faith. I guess it depends on what you're watching, really,
right.
and how much time you have and how many people are depending on you to be there. Sorry, I'm going to check out for 16 hours and watch season 3 of, I don't know, what's popular on Netflix right
now?
The Crown.
Queen's Gambit.
I saw that. I know you saw
that
too.
Very cute, yeah.
Interesting,
really.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Not everything in it was kosher with our faith, but it was an interesting show.
Go in protected.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And but I will say this, believe it or not, Netflix binge watching can actually help you in your Catholic faith. And I'll tell you how. And this is not an original idea. I read a blog post about this by this guy named Warren Truesdale. And I don't know he seems to have abandoned his blog, but he was a theology student who had this blog while he was doing his graduate studies in theology. And he had some interesting blog posts. And one of them was this, that your Netflix binge-watching skills can actually help your Bible reading skills. Mm. And it's an interesting point because the binge-watcher is able to follow a storyline really closely. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So, for example, if you're watching a Netflix program that's maybe a true crime drama or even a fake crime drama, if you're following the plot, if you're watching episode after episode, back to back to back to back to back, you're going to be able to pick up on things. Who done it? Oh, yeah, back in episode 3. Yes, it was Professor so-and-so in the library with the candlestick. Yeah, I remember that. So you're going to be able to put together evidence. You're going to make a good educated guess about who committed this crime because you've just watched a whole season in one day. Now, let me give you another example. And this is one that he gives in the blog post, and it actually really resonated with my wife because my wife, Trish, is a huge fan of The Office.
Oh,
I don't know, Karen, if you like The Office.
My daughter loves The Office, too. Yeah, I couldn't get into it because it was, like, too real. It wasn't funny.
It was too real to
an experience, not my current experience. But it was just,
I was just
going to
say,
I hope
it didn't remind you of Life at Relevant Radio.
No,
for goodness sakes.
You know, I've been working a long time, Cale, so not at Relevant Radio, but back in the olden days.
In the olden days, in
yes.
The cubicle.
When we used to have cubicles, it was like, it's like sometimes you'd read Dilbert and laugh, but then it was mm-hmm. painful because it was so real.
So, a little too close to
the
home.
The Office was good. But yes, well, she's obsessed.
Yeah, so your daughter is obsessed with this. My wife
yes.
is obsessed with this. Now, not this, I'm talking about the American version of The Office. There is a UK version with Ricky Gervais. Is that how you pronounce his name? Gervais?
I think so, yeah. Funny.
I was going to say Gervais, but my wife said, no, I think it's Gervais. I don't follow. Yeah. I've never.
Put the flowers in a Gervais.
Yeah.
Gervais. I don't know.
At any rate, the UK version of The Office is apparently quite funny, too. But the American one, of course, everybody knows, starring Steve Carell, of course. And John Krasinski, mm-hmm. who, of course, went on to do A Quiet Place, where he doesn't do as much mm-hmm. talking. But so here's the example that he gives. Okay, let's take The Office for a second. If you didn't binge watch The Office, let's say you just cherry-picked a couple episodes here and there. And by the way, binge watching The Office is actually, it's a show that actually lends itself well to binge watching because without the commercials, it was a half-hour sitcom, right? Without the commercials, it's only 20 minutes. So you can get through quite a few episodes in one sitting. And it's very funny. And I've seen maybe two or three episodes of it. I haven't really gotten into it, but I did find it very funny, the ones that I watched. But let's just say, for argument's sake, And this is a huge spoiler alert. So if you are going to binge watch The Office this weekend, you might want to just turn your radio down just for one moment or you know, just pause the app for a moment. I'm going to give you a huge spoiler alert. So two of the main characters in The Office are Jim, played by John Krasinski, and Pam. And their office romance that blossoms, you know, over the course of the series. So if you randomly started watching The Office, this is what Warren Truesdale says. If you randomly started watching The Office at, say, season 3, episode 25, and that episode was titled The Job, this is the episode where Jim finally gets up his courage and asks out Pam on a date. And Pam finally says yes. So if you just sort of started with that episode, just randomly picked that one, started watching it, you would have no background for what's going on.
Right. That's why I couldn't get into it. I'm sure that's my problem, because she would come home from school and like start playing where she left off. And I'm like, I don't get it. Why are we watching this?
Yeah, yes. that makes that's a lot of sense. Because there's plot development, right?
Yes.
And you don't know what the background of the relationship is, how they got to this point, and you're not going to find it as compelling. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say that after you watch that episode, let's say you did that. You just watched the episode where he asks her out on a date. And then you say, oh, okay, I'm going to cherry pick another episode here. And now I'm going to go ahead to season 6, episode 5. And this is where Jim and Pam get married. Spoiler alert. So again, if you just skipped ahead to that one, you would miss out on their relationship blossoming, their first kiss, their fighting, the proposal, all the other character development. You're going to basically ruin a fantastic TV show, right? Mm-hmm. So now nobody really does this when they watch television shows. So here's the point of all this. If that's not how you watch a show, you're going to want to do it in order. If that's not how you watch a show, why do you read the Bible that way? Hmm. Why do we cherry pick chapters out of the Gospels or out of St. Paul's letters? Hmm. I mean, we sort of have to do that in a certain sense if we're looking at the daily readings for Mass. But even they tend to go, for example, you'll spend several days or maybe several weeks in one Gospel or one Old Testament book in the first reading. There is a bit of a continuity there. So it's just an interesting thought. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, when it comes to the Bible, it can still be really beneficial for you to take one of those quote-unquote episodes out of context, because right. you could read one chapter of Paul's letters and get really convicted about something. Wow, I really need to get my life in order here. Or God may inspire you. God may speak to you. But this isn't really the way the Bible was meant to be read, because the Bible is a narrative story. It's the story of salvation history, except it's played out in real life with real people, places, and events. But God is working through all of these people and situations and things to bring about his plan for the world. So if you just drop in somewhere in that story, you might be a little bit confused as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. So
good point. So here's an observation.
I thought so. I thought it was a good point. So maybe one thing you could try during Holy Week, which is coming up, of course, why not take one of the Gospels and binge read the Gospel?
I like it.
That's not a bad idea. Like because to tell you the truth, they were meant to be digested in one sitting. Mm-hmm. In many cases, a lot of these documents, for example, a letter of St. Paul. If Paul sends a letter to the church in Corinth, they're not going to stand up on Sunday morning at Mass and say, hey, we got a letter from Paul. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read chapter 1 today. And then when we come back next week for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, I'm going to read chapter 2. No. They would read the entire letter from Paul because everybody would be super curious as to what Paul had to say to them. I haven't heard from him in a while. How's he doing? Is he still alive? Is he in prison? What's happening? What does he have to say to us? So you'd read it through in one sitting. It's a letter.
Yeah.
And they're not that long, really. If you were to hold the pages between your fingers, they're not that long. Same with the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark is very short. It's the shortest Gospel. Why not read that through in one sitting? And we actually did a whole series on the Gospel of Mark on the Faith Explained program. So if you want more commentary on that, you could check out those podcasts. But I don't know.
Companion.
I just thought that.
Yeah,
it's a,
I like
it's
that.
A companion.
Yeah. Companion binging.
Yes. Companion binging. I call it Cale's Notes on the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As opposed to
yeah.
Cole's Notes
Cliff,
on the Bible.
Or was yeah. it Cole? Was it Cliff? It was
Cole's
Cliff
Notes.
In the United States.
I think it was
funny.
Both.
Cliff Notes, Cole's Notes.
I think there was both. I think they were competing notes, were
That's
they not?
Funny.
I think there was like a Cliff's Notes and a Cole's Notes. I don't know.
It's like Trader Joe's versus what do you have for Trader Joe's?
I don't know. Is Trader Joe's? We don't have Trader Joe's, but we do have Whole Foods.
Oh no, we've got Whole Foods to eat. Yay! It stayed the same.
Or whole paycheck, as they like to call it. But
yes,
no,
as I have a friend who calls it.
It is good quality, though, I must say. It is good quality. Indeed. I've been there a couple times, and I was impressed. But
at any rate, fancy dinner, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And they do have wonderful, healthy whole foods for you.
They do.
But they're not really a sponsor of this program, so we probably shouldn't give them this much airtime. But having said that, no, if you want to, call me. But you could binge read a gospel during Holy Week, just as you might binge watch a Netflix show or binge read a letter of St. Paul's.
That's such a great idea. Just like, let's go low tech. Actually read the thing you learned to do in kindergarten. Go ahead. Embrace your basic skills.
Exactly. Don't always have to go to a Bible movie or something like that.
Yes.
Speaking of films and documentaries, there are a lot of documentaries on Netflix, but there also tend to be a lot of documentaries on PBS, television, the public broadcasting service. And I know, Karen, I was going to ask you about this. You were super excited about this.
This week
there was a new documentary that debuted on the American Masters series on PBS, and it was about Flannery O'Connor, and it was called Flannery. And we have a little clip for you.
Perhaps the most naturally gifted of American novelists, Flannery O'Connor.
A good man is hard to find.
Wise blood, mystery and manners.
Everything that rises must convict.
She's one of the best writers of the 20th century. I've read everything that she's written.
Flannery O'Connor is one of the writers least afraid to look at the darkness.
I think it's this bitter old alcoholic who's writing these really funny, dark stories. And then you find out that she's a woman and that she's devoutly religious.
I think that a serious fiction writer describes an action only in order to reveal a mystery.
How is she going to find the stories that she knows she needs to tell? And how is she going to tell them?
All right. That's a little ad for the Flannery documentary. And a couple of the voices, obviously, you can see who is speaking. Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. I've read everything she's written. Conan O'Brien,
I know.
That was a surprise.
That says a lot.
So what did you think of this documentary about Flannery O'Connor?
Well, I fell down a Flannery rabbit hole many years ago, and it's funny, you sometimes you'll run into someone who's been down that rabbit hole too, and it's I was just excited to learn some new things about her that I hadn't known. She really refused to be a pawn in the whole civil rights movement at the time. Okay. There was a suggestion that she meet with a prominent member. I can't remember his name, but she just said, not here in the South, that wouldn't be appropriate. She just refused to be set up. But what I love about Flannery O'Connor, being from the South myself, which you can't tell because I married a Californian and he picked out the whole accent, but being from the South, but also feeling like you're not from the South. She was just such an observant writer, and she observed Southern behavior so well. Mm-hmm. And also as a Catholic, a deeply religious Catholic in the South in the 50s, 40s and 50s, she just has this ability to describe the personalities and the struggle that people had with, you know, things like pride. You know, but in such a cutting way. The first time I read a Flannery O'Connor story, I was in a creative writing class, and I had never heard of her. And I was kind of doing some classes. My girls were in school, and you know, I had extra time, so you know, go to community college, take a creative writing class. And I read I read A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and I finished the story, and I was just like, what? What did I just read? And I have to say, that's her work. But you have to sit in it and, you know, reread it and understand where she... It's amazing. It's Southern Gothic, so, you know, if that's not your cup of tea...
I must confess. I have to confess. I've never read anything by Flannery O'Connor.
You'd enjoy her a lot.
I don't really know much about her. I'm not a fiction reader at all, but I probably should start reading a little bit of fiction.
You know, that's a lot of people are like, I can't do fiction because it's a story. But I'm kind of more of a practical reader myself. But I just so enjoyed her. Here's the great selling point. Don't have a lot of time. She's a famous short story writer. So, you know, she economizes her words and the message. But when I found out she was Catholic and deeply Catholic, you know, at the time that she was writing, her work was just almost scandalous, you know, because it was so honest and almost, well, you know, Conan O'Brien said just dark and humorous. It's like dark humor. We think we made it up, but we didn't.
It's fascinating. You mentioned the honesty. The one quote that everybody knows from Flannery O'Connor, whether you read her stuff or not, is she was at some party. Yeah. And somebody asked her about the Eucharist. Yeah. And she says, well, if it's just a symbol, then to heck with it. But she said it a lot more strongly than I did.
She said it a little more southernly.
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
Like a little southern lady who's just going to be straight with you about it.
A little more blunt. That's interesting stuff. So, well, listen, that is something that looks like a really cool documentary. It was called Flannery, and it's on the American Master Series on PBS. So if you get to catch that this weekend, it might be a good watch. Thanks, Karen, for sharing. Two thumbs up. All right. Siskel and Ebert. Clark and Moran. We'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Hey, they say that about me, too, sometimes. I tell a couple jokes here and there. They're usually not funny. It might be better for the show if we just let Smokey sing. That would be way better in a lot of cases. But I'm here. Deal with it. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call on the Cale Clark Show. You can also go on the show Twitter account, at Cale Clark Show, if you want to get us a message. You can also, while you're there, vote in the March Madness Tournament. Sweet 16, 20th century saints, non-papal. We had to take the popes out. There's too many good ones, and it was messing up our brackets, so they didn't get to go in. I'm sure they're okay with that. They're in heaven. And you can also tweet at my actual account, my personal account, at Cale Clark. Email address, kale@relevantradio.com, just to reset that. And, of course, this Sunday is Palm Sunday, as I like to call it, Arts and Crafts Sunday, because people love free stuff, and Catholics love free stuff, too, let's face it. Especially if it's like a pancake breakfast or something, or free holy cards, man, it'll be like a stampede. Palm Sunday, everyone, and of course we do it out of devotion as well, but people really show up in droves on Palm Sunday because they want the palms. And they make little crafts with them, they make crosses with them, they do things with them. I don't know what the most elaborate craft you've ever seen with a palm, Lucas, is, but do you remember, do you recall seeing any cool things made or...
I do. I've seen some pretty elaborate crosses made with palm branches. I am not that crafty, but I admire those who can do it.
Absolutely. And I prefer if they just paid attention to the mass, but there you have it. Maybe they're really OCD and they have to be doing something with their hair. I don't know. Anyways, well, let me talk about Palm Sunday's reading. There's so much richness here. I just want to get you set up for this from a theological perspective. At the beginning of the Palm Sunday Mass, there's going to be a procession in with the palms, and there's a little gospel reading at the beginning of the Mass, and it's going to come from, it could come from the Gospel of John, but they will probably, depending on where you are, they might choose, the first option is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. It says, when Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately on entering it, you'll find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. You untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, why are you doing this? Reply, the master has need of it and will send it back here at once. So they went off and found a colt tethered at a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They answered them just as Jesus had told them to, and they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Those preceding him, as well as those following, kept crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come. Hosanna in the highest. And this triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is really, really important. And by the way, when Jesus says, hey, go into the village, you're going to find this colt, untie it. If anybody says, what are you doing? Here's what you say to them. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is a supernatural occurrence. Jesus could have set this up ahead of time by maybe he knows the guy who has the colt. But it could also mean that this is just Jesus' supernatural mastery of the situation. But either way, he's in control, and that's what we're meant to understand from this. Anyway, so they get this colt, and they bring it in. And Mark's Roman readers, and of course the Gospel of Mark, was really written to the church at Rome, they would have understood the military motif of the horse. It's a very kingly kind of thing to do. Horses were often conscripted into military duty. The Romans could just say, I need your horse for battle. Okay. And they could take it. And so Israel would have seen this. Now, if you're an Israelite, come from a Jewish background, you would have seen this as being very reminiscent of Israel's great leaders and heroes like Judas Maccabeus. Judas the Hammer, who in the second book of Maccabees, he comes in a sort of a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's cleansed the temple of all the wickedness that was going on there. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 1, this is another verse that's in the background for sure, another section that's in the background rather, from the Old Testament. Solomon rides his father David, King David, rides his father's mule into Jerusalem to be coronated as the king, to be crowned as king. And clearly, this is what Jesus is drawing upon, all of these motifs. What's interesting, too, is that Mark doesn't even quote Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, your king comes to you humble, riding on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. He doesn't even quote that. He doesn't even quote that, which to me says this is historical, number one. Now, the other gospel writers that come along later, Matthew and Luke, they pick up on this, but Mark doesn't even put that in. And the people are spreading their garments, not only the palm branches, but also their garments, their clothing, their cloaks on the road in front of Jesus so he can literally trample over them. That's an amazing gesture because most people in those days, they only owned one coat. They didn't have a whole lot of possessions. So to lay your cloak down for Jesus to ride over, that's literally like giving your life. I am giving myself completely to you. I'm at your service. And that's how we should be, of course, as well. What's really interesting, too, is that if you read the full text, now the whole thing isn't in the reading for this Sunday, but if you look at Mark chapter 11, Jesus rides up on the donkey. There's Hosanna, everybody's welcoming him. But then he goes up to the Temple Mount, and there's nobody there to greet him. And it says he looks around at everything, and then he leaves. So no one comes out to greet him. The high priest, Caiaphas, does not come out to greet Jesus. None of his cronies do either. None of the Sadducees who are in control of the temple, they don't come out to greet Jesus. Why? Because they know exactly what he's trying to do. They know he's basically saying, I am the rightful king here. I am the son of David, the Messiah. I'm doing what Solomon did, the first son of David. I'm riding up on a donkey up the Temple Mount, and I'm going to be here. I am your king. Here I am. So what's interesting, too, is that there's a psalm that is mentioned here in the text, in Psalm 118, and this comes up a lot in Holy Week, and Jesus debates this psalm, the meaning of this psalm, with a lot of people. In Psalm 118, it says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, has become the foundation stone. What's interesting is that in the synagogues of Jesus' day, they spoke this language called Aramaic, which was kind of the street language of the day. That's what how they would have talked on the street with one another. And in the Aramaic version of this psalm, which they would have had in the synagogue, it actually says, the son that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So that's interesting. So Jesus is saying, I am that son of David, that rightful ruler. And Jesus is hoping, what he's hoping is that Caiaphas, the high priest, will recognize this, will recognize who he is, come out to greet him, accept him as Messiah, and then there's a chance that there can be peace. But of course, he doesn't come out. Jesus looks around at everything, and he doesn't like what he sees, because the temple establishment, the temple leaders, are completely corrupt. They're completely corrupt. Not all the people, just the temple leaders, the high priesthood. They become wicked and corrupt, avaricious. They've been oppressing the people. They have not been doing their job. They have not been a light to the nations. And it's time for them to be removed. And this is why Jesus weeps over the city, because he knows that the doom, not only is his doom fixed, he knows what's going to happen. They're going to try to take him out. But also he knows that the fate of the city is not going to be a good one. And of course, that's exactly what happens. In the year 70 AD, the Romans destroy the city of Jerusalem. All of that could have been avoided if they had just realized the time of their visitation. And even after Jesus is crucified, after the resurrection, there's still another chance for them. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter is preaching to the crowds, he says that, look, if you guys repent, God will send a season of refreshment. And there can be a renewal here, but they obviously don't listen to him, and God does not spare the city. Now, many people did come to believe in the gospel, but the leaders, the establishment, did not, and they were destroyed. So that's just a little background for you there on what's going to happen on Palm Sunday with Jesus' triumphal entry into the city. Lots of cool stuff to talk about when it comes to the scriptures that we're going to read together during Holy Week. You know, one of the other great things I love is we talked about Flannery O'Connor with Karen in the last segment. Another great Catholic writer of the 20th century from the other side of the pond, from the UK, was, of course, G.K. Chesterton. And I really love one of his poems. I'm not a huge poetry guy, but I love Chesterton's poem called The Donkey. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I'm going to read it to you. It's really short. I just love this. And Lucas, do we have some poetry reading music you can give me? Or oh, okay. Okay. If there's no music, then there's no point in me putting on my smoking jacket and grabbing my pipe. So I'll just play this one pretty straight here. Chesterton's The Donkey. When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorn, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry, and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody of all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, starve, scourge, deride me, I am dumb. I keep my secret still. Fools, for I also had my hour, one far fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears and palms before my feet. I just love that poem. It's such a great poem. The Donkey by G.K. Chesterton. You can look that up. You can find that on the internet. The donkey, obviously, in some ways, a sort of a hideous creature, a neglected creature, a creature that's often overlooked, a beast of burden. Yet, in that glorious day, that glorious hour on Palm Sunday, there was a shout about his ears and palms before his feet. He was literally the throne of Christ, Christ the King, coming into the city. And really, we're all called to be like that donkey. We're called to be the vehicle that Christ can, you know, as flawed as we are, that Christ can ride into people's lives, into the city through us. And we can be the vehicle of Christ to a dying world. That's kind of cool. Lots of great thoughts to consider there. All right. I think we're going to take a little break right now on the Cale Clark Show. If you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149. And when we come back, we're going to have some Bible trivia. So get on the horn, get those fingers ready to dial. We'll be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's a great show. We're having a great time. It is Friday. We're getting you all set for the weekend. Stay tuned. The week that was is coming up. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be epic. Speaking of epic, we're going to have an epic Bible trivia session. We haven't done this in a while, but I thought it'd be a good thing to do, Producer Lucas, because it's Friday. You can have some fun. And I've got some questions. So now I've got some easy questions, got some softball ones I'm going to throw out there. I've also got some I've got some ones that they're going to take maybe another level of expertise here. So, all right, here we go. Now, by the way, so I'm going to throw out three questions for starters, and you can call and you can answer any one of those three. Just tell Patrick Alog when he picks up the phone which one you want to answer. Okay. So here's question number one. Can we have some trivia music, please, Lucas? Okay. Bible trivia here on the Cale Clark Show. Question number one. In what book of the Bible do we read about God's armor? In what book of the Bible do we read about God's armor? Okay, so that's question number one. Question number two. This is a fill-in-the-blank question. And there's three blanks that need to be filled in. Three words. Without the blank, 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 there is no forgiveness. This is a verse from the Bible. I want you to fill in the blanks. Without the blank, 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 there is no forgiveness. Okay, so that's question number two. Let's throw out one more for now. Let's see who's smart enough to get this one. Question number three. Did Hezekiah himself author the book of Hezekiah? That's question number three. Did Hezekiah himself author the book of Hezekiah? Did he write it? All right, so phone lines are heating up as we speak. Call in 1-888-914-9149. All right, let's go to the phones right now. We've got Paul on the line from Ohio. Paul, welcome back to the show. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Do you want to answer any of those questions?
Well, the second one, perhaps.
Okay, sure.
About the blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say it's without confession of sin.
Ooh. Close, but no cigar. Close, but no cigar.
No.
By the way, yeah, I know that question has a blank, blank, blank in it. Without the question is, without the blank, 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 there is no forgiveness. Now,
Speaking
of blankety, I've been called a blankety, blank, blank a lot of times in my life, but that's not what this is about. So, Paul, thanks for playing.
Now I know what it is. Now I know what it is.
Okay. You want to take it? Should we give him another chance, Lucas? I think so, yeah. Producer Lucas says that you get another shot at it. So here we go. Let's fill in the blanks here. Without the
shedding of blood.
Correct. Correct. Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
I should have known it.
There it is. Yeah. So, yeah, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And, of course, in the Old Covenant time, it were the animal sacrifices that were made. The sacrificial system of the temple, and of course, the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ where he shed his blood for us on the cross. We need, somebody's got to shed their blood for forgiveness of sins, and so that's great. Great job, Paul. Appreciate that. All right.
Thank you.
Was there something else you called about, or did you just want to call about trivia?
Oh, I was just trivia.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you called. I know you're a regular listener to the show and you call in a lot, so appreciate you, Paul. And we don't have any prizes for you other than just eternal glory and fame for answering that question right. And maybe we'll have a tournament of champions one day on the Cale Clark Show. We got to do that. But Paul, I appreciate that. That is great. So one of those questions has been answered. Thank you, Paul. Have a great weekend. So still two questions, and we got some phone lines open. So if you want to call in, now's your chance. So we still got question number one. What book of the Bible, in what book of the Bible do we read about God's armor? Okay. And then the last question is, question number three is, did Hezekiah himself actually write the book of Hezekiah? I want to know. These are good questions. So call in. And the phone number, once again, in case you forgot, how could you forget? You should really program that into your contacts. 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149. Where is Mike from Milwaukee when you need him? Come on, Mike. I know you're probably Googling the answers right now. Where are you? Where are you? Somebody's going to call in. Okay, so as we're waiting for people to call in, I think this is a great time, Producer Lucas, as people are scratching their heads and picking their own... Yeah, call, okay, we got calls coming in. Okay, we got callers. Okay, we're going to hold off here. We're going to go to the calls here. And who is on the line? Can you whisper in my ear? Okay. All right. He's not ready yet. The calls are pouring in. They're pouring in. Okay. Bill in Montana, you are on the air with me, Cale Clark. Welcome to the show.
Cale, hi. I'm excited.
Good. Now, which question did you want to answer, Bill?
I don't remember which number it was.
Okay,
but it was
okay.
About God's armor.
Okay, yes. In what book of the Bible do we read about God's armor? What is the answer? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
1 Corinthians.
No. I wish I could. I wish I could give you better news, but I'm not going to give the answer because somebody else might know it. So we're going to go to Jack in Kentucky right now. Jack, do you know the answer to any of these questions?
Yeah, the full armor of God is in Ephesians 6.
That is correct. It was a good try by Bill in Montana, but it was, in fact, Jack in Kentucky who got this right. The answer is Ephesians chapter 6, and that, of course, is that famous chapter on the armor of God. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Talking about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shodding your feet, putting on the equipment of the gospel of peace. You can stomp out the evil one. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is correct. Great job. Appreciate that. Okay, now we're going to go to Tiffany in California. This isn't the singer, Tiffany, is it? From the 80s.
Well, I can be. Do you want me to be?
Are you going to sing for us?
Can you hear me?
Are you going to do some karaoke?
I like you guys too much. I'm going to answer no on number 3.
Okay, so the third question, just for all the listeners out there to refresh your memory, did Hezekiah himself author the book of Hezekiah? And you say?
I say no.
Tiffany, you are correct.
Woohoo!
And you know why, Tiffany? You know why you're correct? Because there is no book
no
of Hezekiah. There is no such thing as the book of Hezekiah. That was a trick question. So,
okay, I'm just going to pretend like I knew that.
Yeah, it's too late. The cat's out of the bag. But yeah, there you go. And I'm sorry, that was maybe a little sly of me to do that. But you got the right answer, so it was a great gamble.
Awesome. Well, We love your show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Tiffany. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate that. So, Tiffany, wow. Well, she had a 50-50 chance, right? It's a coin flip. Did he write it or not? Well, it turns out there really is no book of Hezekiah. But I like quoting it at parties, you know. I'll just say, hey, you know, as the book of Hezekiah, chapter 9, verse 6 says, blah, 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 blah. And people are like, oh, wow, you're very erudite. You know, you know a lot of stuff. Anyhow, let's listen now to The Week That Was. I don't know if you ever watched the Mighty Hercules cartoons growing up. I used to love those. I think they're made in the 1960s, but when I was growing up, I used to love those, you know, with the Mighty Hercules. You'd put on the ring, and it'd be Newton and Daedalus, and Herc, it's Daedalus. Okay, so this idea that Matthew borrowed, or the other gospel writers borrowed these ideas from pagan cultures to create this concept of God becoming human, God the Father being the Father, a human mother. This is stolen from paganism. No, that is absolutely ridiculous, and I'll tell you why. You got to remember, who is Matthew trying to convince? He's trying to convince primarily Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. He's not going to use a pagan story to try to convince Jewish people who were utterly against paganism that Jesus is the Messiah. That's ridiculous. Brackets are up. You can vote. Who's going to win in the first round of the Sweet 16 20th Century Saints? It's our March Madness tournament on the Cale Clark Show. Just go to the show account, at Cale Clark Show, and you can fill out your bracket, if you will, your virtual bracket, and you can vote for who's going to win these first round matchups. Pope Paul VI allowed the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano to be examined by secular scientists in the 1970s. What they found was really interesting. That this was expertly dissected flesh from a human heart, blood type AB, incredible, had all the properties of living flesh.
It's all about relationship, it's all about prayer, it's all about union with Christ and the Eucharist. And he left that for us, for our salvation. There's a lot of people who are so hurting and so empty and confused. But the reality is that God's love is there for everyone, day in, day out, in so many thousands of ways. Now, all we have to do is just, if we can open our heart a crack, he would be able to penetrate through that and enable us to see the truth.
When Bruce Wayne thinks he's completely blown it, Wayne Manor is burning down to the ground, he says, "Alfred, I've failed." And Alfred is trusty butler, played by Michael Caine. He says, you know, Bruce Wayne says to him, you haven't given up on me? And Alfred says, "Never, never." And that's like God. God never gives up on us.
When I think of spiritual warfare, Satan's always, they say if he can't get you to sin, he'll get you to be busy. The importance of taking the time, to me our armor is the sacraments and mass and scripture and prayer.
You've got to force yourself to go to God, not run away from him. Because in the end, you're going to just justify your sin, say it's not so bad, and things are going to be worse than they were before. So the last thing that you want to do in that moment is the best thing for you. Take your medicine, go back to God. He's going to accept you. He wants you to turn to him. And this is one of the great strategies of the devil, to make you think, it's no use. I'm just going to fall into sin again. Why should I even bother trying? God's so disappointed in me. God never gives up on you. Never, never, as Alfred would say. Great job, producer Lucas Holt, with The Week That Was. I don't know how you do it, Lucas. I mean, you, as you told me earlier today, I think I've got like a 7-minute week that was. Well, that might be a little bit too long, but I can't believe that you're able to chop that down into just 2.5 minutes or so. Well done.
Thanks. Well, you know, I got to give it to you who are listening to this show right now. It's the listeners that make it happen. So a lot
absolutely.
Of good content to choose from.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you, Lucas, for cooking up The Week That Was once again for us. Amazing. And I'm sure you're going to put that on Twitter later as well. And Karen Moran, we had a fun discussion about Flannery O'Connor and Netflix binging, how it can help us read the Bible better. Patrick Alog, he's got the NCAA tournament to look forward to this weekend, plus our March Madness Saint tournament happening now on Twitter on the show account. Take it away, Michaela. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.